welcome back to another episode of Hooked on Score. I'm your host, Rick Urban, and with me today we have composer Mark Crawford. Mark just finished his groundbreaking documentary, The Social Dilemma, on Netflix, which sort of took over the world when it was released last year. And Mark is with us today to talk about the music for the film and some of his other projects. Mark, hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Are you, you're based in Colorado now, is that right? Or are you in LA?
I am in Colorado, very cold Colorado right now. It's like 16 degrees outside and just trying to keep warm.
Yeah, Colorado is such a beautiful place, is it? You were originally, you kind of grew up in Southern California, is that right?
I was born in California, and then I kind of moved around a lot in the Southwest area of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to jump right into the film, because I always like to do that, because sometimes we get to the end of the interview and we forget to talk about the film. So this is, of course, The Social Dilemma on Netflix. This is a doc all about how cell phones and social media are sort of running our lives. And Mark wrote the music for it. This came out last year and was a huge hit. It was kind of like almost part of pop culture there for a while. Everybody was talking about it, even outside of the film world. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty amazing to see the reception. You know, it's in the middle of the pandemic, so we were all kind of, you know, in our own respective areas, and you know, film launches, there's no red carpet or anything, and it film launches out into the world, and it's just like hearing all the buzz happen around the world. Yeah. Was just incredible. And it's an amazing feeling to see the work and the energy that you put into something just really, really take off.
Yeah. And the, I mean, obviously the subject matter is something that affects everybody. So the sort of the relation to the material is built in. And I believe a lot of people were sort of taken aback and surprised by all these revelations in the film. If you haven't seen the film, it's all about how the algorithms and the marketing of Facebook primarily and Twitter and all the different social media is kind of built in to keep you staying there, right? To sort of manage your time and try and keep you on the site as much as possible. And I think that was something I kind of assumed, but a lot of people didn't. So this was sort of eye-opening to most of the world, I think, and kind of alarming to most people. What was your reactions when you started hearing people, showing this film to different people? Were they alarmed by it?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a mix of emotions. Some people were alarmed by it and threw their phone out the window and that kind of reaction. And then others were like, when I first watched it, I was strangely comforted by it, just to know like, this is the reason behind why I'm feeling anxiety and why I'm feeling pressure and feeling this social pressure. And so hearing that was really nice. It's a strange mix of reactions.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of the thing that I heard about John Williams is that he doesn't have a computer at all. And that it's like, okay, that's why he writes such good music, because he doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff.
I know, right? Just a pencil and paper and a monitor, right?
Yeah, but it's funny. Yeah, especially for composers, even these days, it's become such a big part of what we do is marketing yourself on social media. And so therefore, you have to be on social media just to kind of be exposed to everything. And then all of a sudden, you're in this world where I think the trap that composers get in is immediately they look at what other composers are doing and then they feel horrible about themselves, right? I mean, that's the...
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it's kind of where you need to meet people these days. That's how you get your music out, and that's how you share. At the same time, you know, every time I feel myself kind of getting pulled into that world, I start to feel that pressure, and I start to feel like I immediately want to just turn it off and just kind of go back into my basement and just write music without any influence.
Right off the bat in the film, the music is kind of featured, and it grabs you right away. I really enjoyed the music, by the way, for this film.
Oh, thank you.
And it's a nice, different, we hate to use the word hybrid, but it is a nice hybrid of kind of orchestral writing and synth-based. But the, you know, the tension grabs you right away, and you balanced the visuals without Mickey Mousing, which was very nice. I thought you kind of punctuated, because with the documentary, there's usually talking heads and then animation and back and forth. This one works a little differently, but usually the animation, as a composer in a doc, it's almost like an animated film, really. You know, you're almost working the old school techniques of accenting little, you know, bits and pieces there. So you handled that stuff really well. But what I wanted to ask you about was, this goes back and forth almost between a narrative with the family and the doc. How did you handle that? Was that kind of two different animals, or were you thinking all one project kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, the initial discussions were talking about, do you have a different type of vibe for the narrative scenes, and then a different type of vibe for the documentary. And so we kind of leaned into that a bit, and figured out how to play with those two worlds. The approach that I took was sort of the dilemma aspect of the film, where there's two sides kind of competing and having this discussion. So you have sort of the documentary and the narrative side. You have computer versus human world. You have human instruments versus digital instruments. And so I kind of saw all these pairings throughout thematically, and played with that. So, you know, at the beginning, you kind of start with a more traditional kind of orchestral type of vibe, mainly. And then as the film progresses, the digital elements start to take over a bit more and start to kind of disintegrate that traditional film score a bit. And then it kind of transforms, goes through like a grinder of sorts, and it transforms into more kind of digital, almost as if like the computer's scoring this film now. And so I think it was like this constant conflict between the human side and the computer side and the instruments that I love playing with, and kind of felt that tension throughout. It was like pulling the audience through those different scenes.
Interesting. So you were consciously trying to make the score sound more computer generated as the kind of following the documentary.
Yeah, it was taking human instruments and then dehumanizing them almost, making them become more timely and more mechanical throughout. So there's one point, you know, in the film midway through where it feels like the music just starts to just break down, where there's no real time. There's no sense of order to the score.
I love it when composers have that sort of level of thought process and overall vision behind their score. I think that's something where even if it's not, if it doesn't come across to the conscious, it does come across to the subconscious. And I love it when there is a vision for the score like that. So bravo on that.
Thanks. Yeah. And I mean, it was about 89 minutes of music in like a 93 minute film. So it was like pretty much wall to wall. So, but I kind of took that as an opportunity to kind of like slowly guide and slowly push the audiences towards, towards certain areas, almost as if like, a digital version of the music is kind of just pulling them around in this film.
And you've done a lot of work with docs, before this. How was scoring this one different, or was it pretty similar to the previous docs you've done?
Yeah, some of the docs I've done in the past, I wrote some additional music for Chasing Ice and Chasing Coral. Mm-hmm. This one was much more less nature focused and very, very gritty and very, very tough, honestly. Mm-hmm. This is probably like the toughest to feel, because this is sort of like the problems behind all the problems that we see happening with climate change. Mm-hmm. With documentaries, I think the subject matters allow you to raise your skills to a whole new level, because you're trying to, with Jeff Orlowski's documentaries especially, there's such importance behind them. So you feel like when you're scoring these films, it's, you have to raise the bar and really try to give the subject matter and the subjects your time and your commitment.
What's the approach for music for doc, and how does that differ than how would you approach a narrative film?
Documentaries, I think there's a lot of ethics that goes into your scoring. This was interesting because it was this hybrid, you know, narrative and documentary. So you kind of had to, I felt myself approaching the two different scenarios in different ways. With documentaries, when you're hearing documentary subjects approach, you kind of take the stay in the background a bit more, I felt. And then when you went into the narrative sections, especially at the very beginning of the film, you could kind of play with it a little bit more and kind of amp up the music a bit more. Gotcha. And then, you know, as I was saying, through like midway through, the documentary world sort of starts to take over the narrative world. And so you kind of feel the two worlds kind of colliding. So I had some fun with that.
And did you do spotting sessions like you normally would on every other film with the director, or is it approached differently with this one?
Yeah, this one was different. So I started this film out as the sound recordist for the interviews, actually. And so I was kind of listening to all these interviews and getting all of these ideas and from all the concepts that they were talking about. I wasn't expecting to be the composer on it. So I just went home and just started kind of creating experiments and just thinking about, you know, what a score for this film might sound like, thinking about humans and technology and, and so I just take like modular synthesizers and just like record hour long sessions with them. And so I just came up with all this material, just like sketches and just rough material. And I started passing them to Davis, the editor, to kind of, you know, build that into the edits a little bit. And then Jeff would watch some of the edits and kind of stop and listen to that a piece of music and asked Davis where that music came from. And he said, it's Mark.
Very smart, Mark. Very smart.
So hopefully I proved that I could do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best way. If you can get the decision makers, if you will, listening to your music and liking it, then your job becomes much easier. So you started off, you said, as the sound recorder for the interviews, and then you were eventually kind of brought in as a composer after everything was done filming, or was it kind of halfway through?
Yeah, so I was sound recorder from the very beginning, and then I think it was until like the last month where they kind of made the decision, okay, Mark, this is your shot. Mm-hmm. And so December 1st, which was, you know, like a month before the Sundance deadline, you know, I hit the ground running, basically just getting everything synced up to the film. I had a bunch of sketches kind of and ideas going, and I had my palette, but December 1st was like hit the ground running. I got 3 to 4 weeks to get this done.
That is, it's not a lot of time for that much music, but it sounds like you already had a good amount of sketches worked out. So that must have helped you in finishing the project. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely helped. It's trickier with the orchestral aspect of it, because you had to record real instruments and real, as we were recording writing other stuff too.
Well, we'll come back to the social dilemma, but I'd like to learn a little bit about you and your background, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
We always ask our guests kind of how they got started in music and how that evolved into what they are now and what they do. And I kind of want to ask you the same question. Where did you get your start?
Yeah. I think going way, way back, I think my earliest memory with music is, I think, watching Amadeus, the movie Amadeus, when I was like in elementary school. And just getting inspired, because this is around the same time I was learning piano, getting inspired about just writing, and just seeing, you know, Mozart writing music on pieces of paper and then having it performed with tons of musicians was just like such a powerful thing. And then at the same time, you know, my sister used to listen to a bunch of film scores while she did homework, and she's 8 years older than me. So yeah. I always kind of looked up to her.
That's kind of a thing. People listening to film scores while doing like studying and stuff like that. I always hear about people doing that, and I'm like, wow, that's got to be distracting.
I know, right?
To me, yeah. But I guess to them, it's fine.
Yeah. So she'd make a bunch of, you know, mixtapes for me, and I'd be the cool kid in elementary school listening to film scores while the other kids were listening to whatever. And then, you know, I also was just really involved with making films too. When I was really young, I'd get my family's VHS camera and just start making films inspired by whatever films I was watching. And, and then I think the first time I thought about the relationship between music and film was just like holding up a boom box up to the VHS camera while I'd be filming and kind of creating an in-camera soundtrack. Those were the initial seeds for writing music. And, you know, I honed that craft and, honed that passion over the years, but.
Wow. Yeah. I remember we had to do a project for a high school. We had to make a movie about a poem. So we did The Telltale Heart. And the soundtrack was me playing, just like you said, a boombox on set, so to speak. And I remember frantically having to like act in the scene and then run over and like flip the cassette over or something like that. And then having to, you know, and then at the end, you watch it and somehow the music was at an appropriate, you know, level for the rest of it. There was no gain balancing at that point. It was just throw it in there and see what happens. So you went through, and then how did that evolve into you becoming a film composer? Did you do any sort of degree in film composition or anything like that? Or did you just start writing music?
Yeah, well, I went to college for film production, actually. I thought about doing music, but I kind of went against it because I didn't want to be in a practice room 24/7. And I just really wanted to learn more about the stories and the structure behind films. Mm-hmm. And so throughout film, I got a great education in documentaries. I had a great documentary teacher, and just learned all aspects of production. And then after college, I started my own business and worked on a bunch of projects. But that was around the same time I met Jeff Orlowski while he was creating Chasing Ice, and sort of got involved with him, and always wanted to score his films someday. Mm. But I think that, wearing so many different hats, learning editing and graphics and production, really allowed me to see films from all angles. Mm-hmm. and see how music can play a part in the full scope of things. I also had empathy for a lot of the people that make the films and the editors, and how much time and energy goes into that.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think about how, as a composer, if you start literally tracking the hours that you write on a film, it's absurd to think about how many hours you put into a 90-minute film, for instance, or something like that. Or even when you're working on shorts, how many hours you put into a 5-minute short.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And it starts to get a little bit overwhelming. And you were saying about, you're locked in this room by yourself for all that time. So it sounds like you have a lot of different outlets besides writing music in film.
Yeah. And I think I just started kind of gravitating towards music because I think that's a bit more my personality. And I'm not really a set person. I'm a little bit more introverted. And I just like working on, hard creative problems kind of by myself and with my computer and just me.
And so do you still do work outside of music? Like, do you still do sound recording and things like that?
Actually, no. I think a couple of years ago, I just decided to make the switch, just flip a switch and go music full time. I came to a point where, I was learning so many different things. And I think somebody said one time, don't get good at something that you don't like to do. Mm. And I felt like there were a lot of things that I wasn't liking to do. But whenever I did music for my films or for anybody else's films, that was the thing that lit me up. Huh. And so I gravitated towards that.
So when you were doing work on Chasing Ice, this was primarily, like you said, a nature documentary involving aspects of nature. So scoring that, obviously very different in scale than the Social Dilemma. When you were writing for the Social Dilemma, is there, because you were literally inside sort of the unit of the three actors that were portraying kind of the unit keeping tabs on the sun and the narrative. I was kind of drawn to that portion a little bit. Again, if you haven't seen this film, it goes back and forth between these tech giants and behind the scenes people telling you about the different algorithms built in to keep you watching your social media pages. And it teaches you sort of about that through this narrative. And at one point you go into sort of the cell phone of the sun, and there's these three kind of puppet masters trying to get him to grab his phone no matter what. And there's this one period where he stops looking at social media, and then they have to try and figure out a way back. When you were in there in this sort of like subliminal world, what were you thinking as far as the music for that? And did it differ than from when you were doing the Talking Heads kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, when I was originally thinking about the score, I started doing research on deep learning algorithms for especially how it pertains to music. And so I came across this really interesting technology called DeepBach, which was Sony Labs created it. And it basically, it's an algorithm that generates Bach music. It takes all the chorales from Bach and kind of spits out a whole new composition.
Oh yeah, I think I've heard about this. Yeah, it's creating original music, basically, right?
It creates original music. So I just thought about, you know, like what would the computer music sound like? Hmm. I even like did some research on like, could I even create a score just using a computer algorithm to spit out music for it? We're not quite there yet.
Also, I imagine that might be a copyright nightmare.
Right. Yeah. Attributing the programmers or the engineers behind it.
Does the computer get royalties? And if so, what's the percentage? Does it have an agent that negotiates?
Yeah. So, you know, I just started thinking about like what music would this computer generate, and you know, I just started thinking of the relationship between like what is music and what is sound, and how do you just blur that boundary a bit. So I would start to, you know, think about textures and drones in the background, and this is all kind of generated from the modular synthesizer I think I mentioned before. And just thinking of, you know, at one point I'd start to get into the zone so much that, you know, I'd be like brushing with my electric toothbrush or brush, and I'd kind of like hear a tone and think like, is that music? You know, is just like the electrical signals that we kind of hear every day. Is that creating music?
Well, that goes back to Eddie Van Halen with his electric screwdriver on the guitar, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then I worked with an amazing guy at Skywalker Sound, Richard Gould, the sound designer, and kind of talking with him about, you know, how does sound design come into play and where does it interplay with music. And so he would, you know, throughout the film, if you listen really carefully, the room tones for like the computer world would change and harmonize and deharmonize with the music throughout. So at the very end, when, you know, the world kind of comes into a whole new or transforms into a whole new world, it harmonizes. So humans and computers are kind of in harmony.
You think we'll ever get there? And so this thing, very successful, like I said, it kind of became a part of conversations that I was hearing from people that weren't really film people or documentary people or things like that. So do you know, is there going to be some kind of follow-up, or is there anything like that, thoughts of that you know about?
Well, no, not on the film side, at least yet. Mm-hmm. As the film was released, I kind of felt like there might be an opportunity to create something additional musically. Mm-hmm. And so I always loved the song "I Put a Spell on You," that was featured kind of in the midpoint of the song of the mm-hmm. of the film.
Yeah,
and created a cover of that. And so I we had Brandi Carlile and Renee Elise Goldsberry sing, two amazing vocalists sing on the track, which will be coming out, I think, today.
That's on the soundtrack for the film, right?
And that's on the soundtrack, yeah.
Wow, yeah. And that comes out, yeah, I think you said today. or tomorrow. I think I might have got an email about it. So and actually I wanted to ask you about that because this film came out last year and the soundtrack came out, you know, several months later. Why the long lag in between? That was my original question. And then I thought about the last film that I did and I was like, yeah, the movie came out. And then it was like a year later that I put out the soundtrack because I spent so much time like tweaking it for non-film listening. If that makes sense. Did you do something similar?
Yeah, we took some time to tweak it musically. And then it was also this bonus track that we really wanted to focus on and get right. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. And this is going to be coming out to, imagining streaming platforms, or is this kind of like a iTunes sort of release? Do you happen to, actually, you might not even know. do you know where people can find this?
Yeah, this will be released digitally through Spotify, Apple, all that. Someday I hope it'll be on vinyl, but you know, I can always dream.
Yeah, when you start doing the research as far as how to release soundtracks, you know, every composer wants a vinyl of their score for some reason. But it costs like, the smallest shipment costs like $13,000 or something like that.
I know.
So there should be a company that makes just like three.
That's
just,
all.
Just a three. Couple.
Just
yeah.
One for you, one you can send the director, and then, you know, one you can, you know, give to your cat or something like that. But
coffee table, yeah.
Yeah. There should be a company that just presses three of your score. For, you know, I'd pay like $300 or something like that. Just a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, getting it in vinyl, it's kind of crazy. And when you were, did you do any, for the soundtrack specifically, did you do any editing as far as cutting out any extended, you know, under dialogue sections? Or is it kind of straight off of the film?
Yeah, I took out a couple of tracks that were felt a little similar to some of the other tracks, but I felt like, I mean, I kind of got a lot of feedback from listeners and fans that said like, please don't take out too much, because I really like, I hate it when soundtracks, you know, like your favorite track in the film is taken out just for editing reasons. So I left a lot in there. And, you know, you can kind of put it on during while you're studying or, you know,
yeah.
It's kind of one of those albums. Yeah.
Again, the album, The Social Dilemma, the soundtrack from the film, comes out today. Well, definitely as you hear this, it'll be out. So you can check that out on all your streaming platforms. And do you have any other projects coming up, Mark, that you can talk about?
There's a couple of projects in the works, a couple more documentaries. I think this year, I think it was hard on all of us. And what I felt I wanted to do is just take a little music therapy and just write some music myself. Oh. So I've just been focusing on just writing stuff, just writing whatever comes to mind. Might come into a project down the road, but I just like music.
Yeah, it's funny how those sort of experiments with music in downtime sometimes becomes the score for your next film. That's usually, like you said, you kind of did that with this film, actually. So,
yeah, I created maybe 15 tracks for like a musical at one point. I always want to do a musical at some point.
Well, that's, you know, unfortunately, that's the one thing that is hard shut down is Broadway is, I mean, that's over a year. I think I was looking at the I think this coming weekend, it's going to be a year since I've played a gig, and my heart just goes out to musicians because there's so many musicians, and usually some of the best ones, their whole income comes from gigging, and that to be taken away is, it's just such a harsh reality. So I hope Broadway gets back going in some capacity soon, because it's really hard on the musicians. How is Colorado as far as being shut down? Are theaters open there, or what's the situation like over there?
I think we're at a level yellow, maybe, where I think there's restaurants sort of starting to open, and maybe the theaters are opening. It's still a little up in the air.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they can get some sort of theaters safely opening in some capacity. it's getting hard on the creative arts, that's for sure. But fortunately for all of us, I was hearing somebody talking about this is sort of the golden era to be locked in your home as far as Netflix and all these different streaming platforms. I mean, you can go through the entire TV shows in a day and do that for most of us have been doing that for a year now, and producing music in your house and everything like that. So the film The Social Dilemma has been on Netflix for a while, and it's still on there. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's really eye-opening and very interesting topic. And the score, The Social Dilemma, comes out as you are hearing this. And anything else, Mark, that you want to say to our listeners? Any parting thoughts or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. Really, thanks for having me. It's really, really fun to talk about this stuff. You don't get to talk about music very often.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that people are interested in, so we're going to keep giving them what they want to hear, that's for sure. So, great, Mark. Again, the composer is Mark Crawford. You can check out the score, the soundtrack, along with that new song, the new version of the song. I'm sorry, the song again was I Put a Spell on You, right? Yeah. That is featured in the film. And that'll be on the soundtrack that is out on all streaming platforms today. And check out The Social Dilemma if you haven't seen it already. I don't know where you've been, but. Well, thanks again, Mark, for being here. Mark, where can people find you? Do you want to give out any social media handles, or since we are talking about the social media world, or did you end all your accounts while you were creating this film?
I've been hovering over that delete. The delete button for some time now, but yeah, you can check me out at Composer MC, you can find me on my website at www.markcrawfordmusic.com.
Well, thanks again for everybody that has been listening. Again, check out our new Patreon page. That's patreon.com/hookedonscore to support the show. If you do want to follow the show on Twitter, we are at hookedonscore. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Rick Urban. And we will see you next time on another episode of Hooked on Score.
Everyone, that's our show. Bye.